Hi everyone, I'm Liam, and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. All right, let's get started. This week, we're looking at element 3.1.1, Fit for Purpose. It's part of Quality Area 3, Physical Environment, and it's the first element of Standard 3.1 design. The description for this element is, outdoor and indoor spaces, buildings, fixtures and fittings are suitable for their purpose, including supporting the access of every child. All right, so what's this one all about? A lot of the elements in Quality Area 3 as we go through them are pretty direct and straightforward. And this is probably, you know, the clearest and simplest one to understand of them all. So this one's really talking about the structure, the foundations. I've been watching a lot of those home renovation shows with my wife recently, and I think they refer to the bones of a particular house. So we're kind of talking about that as well. The bones, the framework, the basic structure of the building where the service is taking place in. We're making sure that's good enough to serve as, you know, what I would call the stage for children to play and learn in safety and have good well-being as well. So, you know, the actual structure of the physical building that this is taking place in. And this actually has a pretty significant connection to how children learn. We've often heard of this expression that, you know, that the environment is the third teacher for children. So the actual context, the actual setting, the actual physicality of the space is actually really important for children's learning. And we see that in a variety of ways, which we'll talk through in practice. But, you know, this element is really about making sure that even before we put in resources into the room, before we do put in all those things that bring life and energy and excitement to a particular learning space, that the actual sort of foundations, the fabric, the structure of that classroom and that building are, as the element says, fit for purpose. All right, so let's have a look at this one in practice. The first thing to just think about before we think about some elements of what this can look like in practice is that this is another one of those elements that has a lot of regulatory elements behind it. So there are a lot of particular regulations that apply to this one. And they particularly apply not just to nominated supervisors, but also to approved providers. So those people or organizations who are charged with, you know, the overall running of a service and might run multiple services. There are a lot of things to think about there. So the advice, as always, is make sure you're having a good look at the regs, particularly if you're an owner-operator or if you're, you know, someone charged with that role of approved provider. There's really no other regs are asking here. We won't have time in these short episodes to go through each and every one of them. We'll mostly be looking at it from the quality perspective and from the element perspective. So the first thing to think about really is that idea of safety and the facilities of the room itself. We really want to start with the basics, not getting too far down the road of, you know, significant pedagogical practice or significant, holistic approaches to play and learning. We really want to think about, you know, the basic structure is okay for children to be in. And because, like we sort of said at the intro to this element, that is part of learning, that children can't learn in a place where they're not safe, or children can't learn in a place that's not engaging. Those things are actually really important to think about, and they're not separate from learning, they're not separate from play, they're not separate to how children experience a particular space. In terms of how this works, you know, when you see this working in services, is that this is often done through a pretty rigorous risk assessment. We can kind of approach these sort of things in two really broad ways. One might be we're building a service from scratch. We see a lot more of that. There's a lot of new services popping up around the country in particular areas where, you know, you might be part of the designing process, you might be part of the planning process, and, you know, that center is being built, you know, right from the ground up. But we also have a lot of cases where old buildings are being repurposed, and maybe they used to be something else, or they've just been early childhood services for a really long period of time. The organization I work for in Canberra, we work with a lot of buildings like that, where we've a long-standing community service organization. A lot of our buildings are quite old, but, you know, what people in both of those situations have to do, whether they have a new or an old building, is really make sure the structure is safe and sound. So when we're thinking about that fit for purpose, we really want to take that really big step back and just think at it purely from a safety and a facilities perspective. And not just that the structure's okay, we're also looking at things like bathrooms, accessibility, making sure that, you know, children potentially with, you know, a disability or other inclusion needs can actually access the service. So it is really best starting from that fundamental starting point. Is this a safe space for children to access, and do they have all the facilities they need? We're particularly thinking about things like toileting and nappy change areas, and I'm going to come back to that as an example a little bit later. The next thing to think about is different approaches when we have what I referred to before, whether you have a new building or an old building. New buildings, I think, can be really exciting, and we see them a lot, and they're often shared on Facebook, and there's wonderful photos, and they often seem like this big new frontier for early education, and when people are sitting back and thinking about, you know, often cutting edge or innovative designs for how children can engage in a particular space. And I think that's great, and I think we should always be pushing what we can do and having different ideas about what early learning spaces can look like. But one thing I've noticed, and this might be a particular Canberra thing, but I've got a feeling it's national, is I visited a lot of services that were new, you know, sort of 5 or 6 years ago, and they've now, some problems are starting to emerge. You know, what seemed sort of cutting edge and you know, dare I say, trendy at the time has actually created some sort of issues. And what may be an issue there is that, you know, trends sort of come and go quite quickly. And also, and this is a subtle point, but it's often a question mark, you know, was this space designed with children in mind, or was it designed from an adult perspective of what children think they might like, or was it designed more from a marketing perspective that we wanted to market particular families? And all of those things can create particular issues. One particular example I might give here is I visited a service that was only built in the last sort of 5 or 6 years that had this sort of kind of interesting design I hadn't seen before, where they would, the spaces were quite large, and in the middle of this, the quite large space, was the toileting and nappy change areas. Now, from a design perspective, this obviously was quite interesting to the architect and the designer, and potentially the service as well. But what this meant in practice was that there were real, you know, children's rights and privacy implications for me, where children were sort of displayed in the middle of this space while they were having, you know, what should be quite a private, sensitive time. They were kind of in the middle of this noise and engagement from, you know, from sort of all sides. So there wasn't, and so that's kind of an example of where something that seemed like kind of an innovative design at the time hasn't sort of stood the test of time and hasn't really looked at it directly from the child's perspective. And there are sort of other examples of that sort of thing as well. But, you know, old buildings can have the same problems as well. They're often retrofitted. They're not designed for a particular space. So we would particularly see this as a problem with particular facilities that just weren't designed at all with children in mind. And again, toileting, nappy changes are often the biggest issues there. But there may also just be things where you know, outdoor areas are small, or particular classrooms are sort of not, you know, are not suitable for the learning and the play that's taking place in there. One of the things that often I see when I go into spaces is just spaces that are quite, you know, boring from an engagement perspective. They might just be kind of a square or a rectangle with no additional rooms for children to go in and explore different spaces. No sort of interesting shapes and corners to make useful spaces. That's a big problem, I think, with old buildings. So there are challenges with both of those. So it's not about saying, you know, a new building is always wonderful and so much better than old buildings. And the reverse isn't true as well. A lot of it does come down to how they're engaged with. But, the advice for this particular element is you need to know your space. What's the, you know, does it have a history? But, you know, how can it be used? And what are the things we can think about in terms of engaging with the space we have? Because often we're stuck with the space we have. It's very hard to redesign and reconstruct a building once it's open. But you know, for people who are maybe outside of both of those things, and maybe they're about to open a brand new centre, or they're just at the design planning stage, you know, my advice would really be, you think about this from the child's perspective and not the adult's perspective on the child's perspective, if that makes sense. Have a real good think about what this thing would look like in practice. The last thing to think about here for me is a concept we've talked about a lot throughout all these episodes, which is that holistic approach to every particular element. So we're kind of used to thinking about holistic approaches, you know, directly related to children's learning, particularly their health and well-being, and thinking about the whole child. And we can really apply that same approach to our environments and the particular structure of the buildings we have, which is really taking, and you know what that means is taking a step back and thinking about it as a whole. And the way I would sort of approach this is thinking about, you know, what are the possibilities for this space You know, if we took every, if we're able to take everything out and just leave those fixtures and fittings and the things that are, you know, bolted in, the holistic approach sort of says, you know, what are the possibilities here? What are we missing because we've been setting the thing up in a particular way for a really long time, or we just haven't, you know, we're in this space day in, day out. So we haven't taken that opportunity to take a step back and go, do you know, I haven't thought about a different way of doing this. Another way of doing this is obviously also visiting lots of services. I'll be probably talking about this quite a bit through Quality Area 3 because examples of practice are really the best way to engage with this topic. But, I'd really recommend, if you're in an area with multiple centres, is to pick up the phone and ask for a visit. There aren't that many centres that would say, no, we don't want any visitors. People are actually really interested in sharing what they do. And as long as you're prepared to reciprocate by offering a visit back, I tend to find that works pretty well. So that holistic approach, so where services have engaged well with, you know, they're actually thinking about the structure of their service. You know, what I see is they've really taken a step back and think and had a good think about, you know, what are the possibilities for this particular space? How could we use what we have that's kind of locked in a different and interesting way? And it's an example of that might be particularly the outdoor space where we're often challenged by particular things. And I've seen some great things with services that have, spaces that are, maybe covered in softfall, which, was a great idea 15, 20 years ago, and we sort of every service was suddenly covered in softfall, and that's now becoming a huge issue for services where they're stuck with these sort of softfall nightmares. And I've seen some really interesting things where services have taken that and then they've taken particular areas of that softfall area, which can be very expensive to take up and replace, and just overlay it with natural materials, like particularly tambark, and they've able to actually turn that into a really interesting, nice space that's kind of hasn't cost them anywhere near as much money, but has used that space in a really interesting way. So that's maybe a good example of how that sort of holistic approach can work in practice. All right, let's have a think about some suggestions for nominated supervisors here. This is, definitely some good advice, but I know it's a lot trickier than it sounds, particularly if you're a really large service or particularly if it's just hard to find the time. But the best thing to do is really, as I said, take the holistic approach, go back to basic. And the best way to do that is to maybe on a weekend or after hours or whenever you can find the time is take all of the resources out of a particular service, even classroom by classroom. If you can do one classroom a weekend for a few months, you just take everything out and just sit with the foundations, the structure, the bones, if we're back in the real estate show, the bones of the classroom. What does it actually look like? And removing all those things that we see day in, day out, the things we walk into the classroom and see that it's hard to see past because we're really focused on the furniture and the resources, which we need to be. And a lot of the rest of Quality Area 3 is devoted to those topics. But really taking everything out and going, this is the space we have. What are the possibilities here? Are there different things we could do? Could we look at different kinds of furniture? Could we engage with the shape of the classroom in a particularly different way? If that's something that you can do, I'd really, really recommend it. Maybe at the start of the year or the end of the year, and just get people to think differently about that space and come up with that question, what are the possibilities? What is possible with this space? The next bit of advice here for nominated supervisors is be realistic. I mean that really seriously. I do think we're at risk sometimes in the sector because there's a lot of, beautiful professional photography being taken of new services and we see all these shiny things on Facebook and in ads. And I think we kind of think, we can't do anything like that or, well, we don't look as shiny as those new centres. But, it's not about that. It's not a competition. And as we'll see in the other elements of this standard, every service should look different. It should reflect the community it's in. But being realistic means you don't get depressed or frustrated by the conditions you have. They're what they are. So it's about saying what can be achieved, what can we alter or amend in that particular thing, in that particular environment that maybe we're stuck with. But it's also about saying, there are things we can do with this particular space and we don't need to compare ourselves to other services. Another bit of advice here, though, for nominated supervisors is a lot of local councils or local state and territory governments will have grants for things like capital works where you could maybe make some particular changes. I'd really recommend, particularly if you have troubling or challenging or frustrating toileting nappy change areas, they're good things to focus on. You can also write to your local MP if they're really bad. That's the kind of thing that MPs like to get involved with. They can spend a little bit of cash and get a nice photo opportunity out of it. So there's a bit of advice there for people looking to engage in that. And then lastly, the quality improvement plan. I'm just going to do one point this week because this one, again, is a pretty direct and straightforward element. And the entry I would have for this element would be each learning space is assessed to ensure it provides the right stage for children to learn in safety. And that's really about looking at the the environment, talking about things like inclusion, safety, the holistic approach. We want to see that we're setting the stage well for children. And then throughout the rest of this quality area, as the weeks go by, we're going to be talking about, you know, learning resources and furniture and those kind of things. But, you know, this first element is really about setting that stage. So what's a way we can do that really effectively? All right, that's it for another week. Thank you for everyone who's been listening and enjoying. I'm amazed we're kind of up to quality area 3. The weeks and months are going by really quickly. I just wanted to give a quick update to people. There won't be an episode next week, unfortunately. I know we had a break earlier, but I'll actually be in Perth. This episode will be coming out on Tuesday. I'll be in Perth on Wednesday to Sunday, so away for quite a while. I just kind of won't have time to record and edit. I will be at Perth for the Early Childhood Learning and Development Conference with Child Australia. So for anyone listening to Exploring the NQS or the Early Education Show who's in Perth for that conference, you know, track me down. I'll be around, so I'd love to say hi. But no episode next week. We'll be back the week after with Element 3.1.2. So until then, it's goodbye from me.